Blog Talk Radio.
In him I move, in him I have my being. Might as well not move at all, except I move in him. In him I live, in him I move, in him I am my being. Might as well not move at all, except I move in him. Help me singing now. In him I live, in him I move, in him I am my being. Might as well not move at all, left I move in him. Him I live, him I live, him I move, him I am my being. Might as well not move at all, except I move in him. In him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being. Might as well not move at all, except I move in him. Good evening, good afternoon. This is Apostle Alexander Lawson of the Burning Woods Church, 402 North 13th Street in Irving, North Carolina. We thank God for this opportunity to come before you. Praise God to deliver the word of God, to give you a message that will be a blessing to your soul. We'll be coming from Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, around about the 24th verse in particular. We want to talk tonight from a subject, are you saved or just trying to fool somebody? Are you saved or just trying to fool somebody? You will be amazed and astonished at what is going on in the churches today. How it is so, the church is full of false pretenders. From the pulpit to the congregation, from the apostle to the prophets, both who claim salvation. See, a title is not salvation. You can call yourself an apostle, you can call yourself a prophet, you can call yourself an evangelist. That is not salvation. Salvation is being born again, making Jesus Christ Lord and Savior your life. It don't matter who give you a degree. It don't matter what college you go to. It doesn't matter what university you go to. If you have not been born again, you're lost. Jesus didn't cut no slack. He didn't bite his tongue. Nicodemus was a teacher of the law. Nicodemus was not a leader. Nicodemus was like a pastor. And when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, Jesus didn't say to Nicodemus, you will say you're a good man, you're a great teacher, and I admire you when I hear you speak. But Jesus saw that he was lost. Mm-hmm. And Jesus knew he was lost. And Jesus said to him, except a man be born again. He shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because Nicodemus was saved, but not by grace. He was saved by the law. Nicodemus said, well, how can a man be born again? He can't enter the second time the mother's womb. But Jesus explained to Nicodemus, I'm not talking about the natural birth. I'm talking about a spiritual birth. You already been born naturally. He that is born of the flesh. He told him, he that is born of the flesh is flesh. He that is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say to you, you must be born again. He was telling Nicodemus, you've been born of your mother, and you can't go back that way no more. He said, but now you got to be born of the water and of the spirit. You got to be born again by the blood of Jesus. Nicodemus didn't understand that because he was caught up in the law. All the sides and Pharisees in those days, those teachers of the law, the reason they could not accept Jesus because they were so caught up in the law. They were so dead stricken that they weren't going to listen to nobody. You know how it is when nobody just won't listen? They set in their way. No one, a person should never, you should never be set in your way. I don't care how right you think you are. You should never be so set in your way that you can't change. Won't listen to somebody they're trying to tell you something. They may be wrong with what they're trying to say, but at least you can listen. They can't change you because you're listening. They ain't going to make you backslide or be less than who you are by you listening, but you set in your way. You just right. It's bad to say, it's bad to be so right and find out later on you're wrong. Nicodemus found out later on, he was all them years thinking that he was safe, all them years thinking that he was ready, all them years thinking that heaven was his home, and Jesus had to bust his bubble and tell him, Nicodemus, you got to be born again. You've been born of your mother, but now you got to be born by the blood of Jesus Christ. Huh? Jesus saw his condition, and he told him the truth. We got folks on the mother board. We got folks on the deacon board. We got folks sitting in high places in the church, and you know they ain't saved. Just because they pay their tithe, they pay good money, and if they've been part of the church all these years, and it's because of them that the church is big like it is and grows like it is. It's because of them that the church has been remodeled and been edified and all that stuff because they've been there all the year with their money. But yet you saw this pastor see that their soul ain't saved, and you sat there and don't say nothing. You don't love their soul. If you sit there and know them on a motherboard, deacon board, sitting inside in the pulpit, you know they ain't saved. You know they ain't been born again. You know they're going down to the liquor house when they leave church. You know they're going to the club. You know they're going to somebody else's house other than their wife, other than their husband when they leave church. You know that, and everybody else in the church know, but ain't nobody saying nothing. But everybody's scared. But I come by to tell you this out there, I am not scared. I am not afraid. I didn't come to be bold in self. I can't be bold in the spirit because I love your soul. God made this possible when he touched the heart of Apostle Margie Murphy and opened up this door for me to come and speak. This is not no accident that I'm speaking. This ain't my doing, but it is God doing through Apostle Margie. And I thank Apostle Margie for hearing the voice of God and allowing me this opportunity to come and tell you the truth. Because I don't want you to sit in church and go to hell in the church. I don't want you to sit in church and be lost, sitting there knowing you ain't saved. Now, see, I know what I'm talking about. Because I've pastored the church for 19 years, and it's sad to say we have revivals, and we have workshops, and we have times where people would invite folks to the altar. And it would shock me to know that I've done years sitting there thinking that my deacons are saved, thinking that my mothers are saved, thinking that my trustees are saved, thinking that my ruling elders are saved, and they're going to come up to get salvation. Here I've been all them years thinking that they've been born all these 19, 18 years, 15, 16 years, 10 years, and they're going to come out. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not mad that they did. I'm glad they came up and got saved. But I'm saying it's amazing to know they sat there holding up positions and didn't want him born again. They didn't know Jesus, Lord, and Savior. They're like, oh, it's going on in churches now. It's in your church, my church, churches everywhere. Folks sitting there knowing that they're not saved, knowing they're lost, knowing they're on their way to hell, and yet comfortable. Sitting back all comfortable, like they're on a coastline, somewhere headed to the beach, headed to Myrtle Beach, or headed to Washington, D.C., headed on some vacation or trip, just cruising on their way to hell. Just sitting back, look, preaching out of their soul. Lord, we preach so much that we're about to pass out, preaching under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And then they got their nerve, got their adapter to leave out of there and go straight to the girlfriend house, straight to the boyfriend house, got a husband, a wife at home, go straight over there and commit fornication, go straight and commit adultery, go straight and get them a thing of looking like ain't nobody said nothing. Oh, like God's word don't mean nothing. But I want you to know God's word means they're not going to go out and come as boys. It's going to accomplish what they're sending out to do. It's going to find you right where it is. God's word come to change you. God's word comes to convict us, to change us. But people just don't want to change. People want to continue doing what they're doing. But I say, are you saved? Are you saved? It's time to have an inventory. But the Bible says, make sure of your salvation. Your election, sure. The Bible says, make sure. This ain't no time to be playing games trying to figure out where you're going to be saved. Because the rapture could take place anytime. All the prophecy has been fulfilled. Ain't nothing left now but for Jesus to come. And the reason he ain't coming, can I tell you? I know this much. I don't know when he's coming, but I know why he hadn't come. Because he's gracious. Because he's merciful. Because he wished that none perish and none die and go to hell. Jesus don't want nobody to be lost. God don't want nobody to be lost. That's why he's been patient. That's why he's been long-suffering. That's why he's giving you a chance to get it right. The rapture could take place while I'm talking right now. The rapture could take place tonight, in the morning, tomorrow, next week. The rapture is ever so close. Ain't nothing holding it back by the grace of God. And God's been gracious. And God's been merciless. And you sitting there in church saved, the lost to know you lost. On the deacon board lost. On the trustee board lost. On the usher board lost. Sitting in the pool beside the pastor lost. No, you ain't got no salvation. Come on, humble yourself. Don't get mad. This ain't nothing to get mad about. This ain't a message to offend nobody. This is a message to convict you. This is a message to wake you up. I done dreamed several dreams. I quit counting the dreams that I had that the rapture took place. And it ain't gonna be no pleasant thing when the rapture takes place and you get left behind. Folks gonna be looking at you like, who are you? Wait a minute. You a pastor. You a prophet. You an evangelist. You the one doing all that prophesying in church every Sunday. What you doing here? The rapture done took place. You go to left with the rapture. And here you is down here, back here with me. I know I'm a devil. I know I ain't live nothing. And here you is back here with me. And here you the pastor, the apostle. And you supposed to have been born again. And the rapture took place and left you. You've been hypocrite and pretending in church all these long times. Oh, I come by to tell you, you need to get rapture ready. This is everybody, even myself. You need to get rapture ready. You need to have an inventory of yourself. You need to know that you're saved. Sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and Father, you need to know that you're ready to meet Jesus. If he would rapture the sky right now, you need to know you're rapture ready. But are you saved, or are you just trying to fool somebody? Are you just putting on a front, sitting there knowing you ain't saved, knowing that you ain't been born again? And this is my message now. Whether you know it or not, I'm preaching. This is my message. Are you saved? I'm asking you a question. Have an inventory of yourself. Because it's going to be all sad on that day when you stand before Jesus and you're on the left side and you thought you're going to be on the right side. Because those that are lost are going to be on the left side. Those that are saved are going to be on the right side. He's going to say, depart from me, I know you're not. For your words is in iniquity. All that work you did, all that labor did, all the church service you went to, and then you're going to be cast out. Then you're going to be lost. Why? Because you did not get saved. You did not make Jesus Lord and Savior of your life. Huh? You didn't make it Lord and Savior of your life. You walk around pretending. You change. See what people doing now? They're changing. They change. What I mean is they start drinking and they quit running around and they start smoking cigarettes and start going to the clubs and come to the church and think they say, baby, that's not salvation. Thank you that you changed. I'm glad you changed, but that ain't enough. You got to make Jesus Lord and Savior of your life. You got to be born again. If you come up any other way, you like a thief and a robber. You got to be born again. You got to be saved. Ezekiel 18 and 24. Let me explain to you what Ezekiel 18 and 24. Because, see, there's an old saying going around now, and it was in my days when I was a little young boy. Let me slow down a little. I'm excited. It was in my day, too, when I was a little boy, that there was an old saying that once you say, you always say. Once you've been born again, I hope nobody's teaching that. If you're teaching it, I'm going to help you not teach it out to the night. I'm going to give you some clarity so you won't teach that no more. That once you say, you always say. Yes, I know the scripture. I know that the word of God said that he will marry to the backslider. Even though he said that, that don't mean that you're going to heaven because he married to you. He said he will marry to the backslider. All you got to do is repent, he said, and come back. Remember, he said he married to you. He's the old backslider Israel. Ain't that what he said? You can't go to heaven in no backslider state. Don't let nobody fool you. You can't go to heaven in no backslider state. You can't be going to Washington, D.C. and Baltimore at the same time. They're in two different directions. You can't do it. So you turn around from going to Washington, D.C., you're going to Baltimore now. You can say all you want to. I'm on my way to Washington, D.C. Not if you're headed toward Baltimore. That's the same way it is with salvation. You can't say you're on your way to heaven and you lost. If you lost, you ain't on your way nowhere but to hell. You're on your way to judgment. And you ain't got nothing to wait for now but for the rapture to take place so you can be judged. Because that's the only thing waiting. Why you say that, Apostle? Because it's the truth. Because I love you. I love your soul. Pastors, I hope you love your member soul. If you don't love your member soul, then you need to let another pastor get in there that do love their soul. You were put there to love the souls of the people, to preach the truth, to tell them the truth. You hear what I say? Jesus said, I give you pastors after my own heart. And did not Jesus love souls? Jesus loved his soul. He said he wished. See, God don't want you die your sin. He said he wished that none perish, but all come to repentance. So I'm going to have to kind of allow God to use me this afternoon because my computer's devil got in it and trying to, shut it down on me, and I ain't got time to go trying to be distracted. So I'm going to let the Holy Ghost have his way. That all right? Shata. Itabo-boshe. So go sit there, Pastor, and let your members go to hell. Love your members so. God said he's going to give you a pastor out of mind on heart, and God's heart was for the soul of the people. Even when they were doing wrong, God still loved his soul. God ain't like you. Don't be preaching to the people according to the way you feel. Don't get mad at them and preach to them the way you feel because they won't get saved. If they don't get saved Sunday, go back the next Sunday. If they don't get saved the next Sunday, you go back the next Sunday. I've been going back over 40 years now, preaching to the soul that some got saved, some didn't got saved. Some got saved and they backslid. Some backslid and they turn around and come back. But it's okay. It ain't my job to worry about that. It's my job to preach the truth, preach the word. Some of them lied on me. Some of them talked about me. Some of them hung my name on the signboard. Some of them did me. Some of them hurt me. But guess what? I had to keep a positive attitude and still show them love. I had to preach to them anyway. When they come back, after they apologize, I had to love them anyway. I ain't say I had to bring body to my birthday party now or to the family union, but I said I had to love them anyway. I had to have a positive attitude towards them. Pastors, you better always keep a positive attitude towards a member. Don't go joining side with no members in the church. Them same ones you telling them business about the other members, you wrong. Don't be sitting around talking to no member. I don't care if you're talking to the trustees. I don't care if you're talking to the ruler elder. I don't care if you're talking to your minister, your lay minister in the church. You ain't got no business spreading the church business, the members' business to them because they ain't God. They entrusting you with their business. They entrusting you with their livelihood. And you ain't got no business sharing and laughing and everybody else know what's going on in that person's life because you sit down and talk with some of the members in the church. You got to stay in the middle of the road. You can't choose sides. You got to stay on the before God at the altar so you can preach that word that will save their soul. The Bible said it'll do it. That word would say this if they let him. So you know your mothers ain't saved. Call that mother. You know that deacon ain't saved. I know. It's been a long time. You don't put up with it right so long. It's going to be hard for you to do now because you don't set them baby that sin. You don't set them baby that mother. You don't set them baby that deacon, that trustee, that ruling elder. They know they ain't saved and you ain't said nothing about it. Now when you go confront them, you may have a controversy. You may have a kickback. You may have a flare-up. You may get an attitude. You may get some ill behavior because now you meddling in something that you already knew about in the first place, but you need to do it. When you see the terror coming and warn not the people. Ain't that what he said in Ezekiel? When you see that, you see them sitting the law. You know they're going to hell if they don't get saved. You know they go to the ABC state every time they leave the church. You know he go down to Mary Magdalene every time he leave home. You know he's cheating on her with his wife. You know that and you ain't said nothing to him. What did John say? What did John say to Herod? He said to Herod, he said, listen, he said, you need to send your brother Herodias. You need to send her back home because it's not right for you to be married to your brother's wife. Ain't that what John said? John wasn't scared. John ain't bite your tongue. John told the truth. You got to tell the truth. People ain't going to stop doing it, and then they still may not start doing it. I should tell the truth. At least the blood won't be on your hand. He said to see the terror coming and warn not the people. He said the terror going to come anyway. Listen, these things that are coming on the earth, this judgment that is coming, it's going to come anyway. Look what this virus did. Look what this high many people. They said it destroyed more people than World War I and II. Look what this virus did. Look what judgment come on the earth. North Carolina, United States, we ain't never suffered such judgment. all we got by other countries were going through it. Other countries have been losing 50,000 millions of people from the plague, from some epidemic. But not us. We always escaped. We always got away with it. But now we allow sin to come in. Sin sitting in the pulpit. Abomination in the desolation. Sin in the choir back there. Shaking and a faking. Sitting on the motherboard, sitting on the deacon board. Sin sitting right beside the pastor and ain't nobody saying nothing. Like God don't care about sin anymore. Excuse me, I'm not trying to be mean this afternoon, but I'm trying to be grateful. I love your soul. I want you to go to heaven. Through preachers, I hope you go and get on your knees and be born again. Get saved. Repent. Tell God you're sorry for pretending to be saved when you know you won't. Sin is in the church. It's in the choir. Is that all right? And then we mess around and grieve God. We grieved him and we started signing the degree that a man could love a man and a woman could love a woman. I'm not gonna focus. They're of the sin. But this sin is an abomination. People talking about, well, they're of the sin. Yes, they are of the sin. But this sin is an abomination. This sin is disgusting. This sin it grieves God. That we do such things like we don't know no better. When we know a male is a male and a female is a female. And we know that ever since the beginning of time that a male is supposed to be with a female and a female is supposed to be with a male. Not two males with a male and two females with a female. We know that we act ignorant. We play dumb. Animals got better sense than we have. Animals act like they got better sense. They know right from wrong when it comes down to male and female motives. Only one, basically, you find not knowing right from wrong that would mess with another animal would be a dog. So we don't allow this old doggy spirit. See, what happened is we done got so low. Oh, we done got so far away from God that we allow this doggy spirit to come out of nature, come from an animal, and get in us and got us doing doggy things. Oh, I'm trying to be nice and decent about it. We got us doing doggy things that is an abomination in God's eyes. That is wrong. It is wrong. And I want to share this and go on. It is wrong. If you ain't caught up in it, I come by to help you. I love your soul. You're not going to heaven in that relationship. You're not going to heaven in no relationship. If you're a man loving a man and a woman loving a woman, you're not going to heaven. It ain't nothing. What I'm saying is what the word says, but it's an abomination. God's not going to allow it to be so. I don't care if you're passing the church. I don't care if you're sitting on the deacon board, the mother board. I don't care where you might be. You might be mad at me right now, but that's all right. I love your soul. As long as you call your soul to be saved, it's all right with me. I want you to go to heaven. You got to come out of that lifestyle because it's an abomination lifestyle. Do you not know that if God lets you get away with that lifestyle and he lets you go to heaven and he don't say nothing about what you're doing, even though a law been passed, the law of man don't change the law of God. You hear what I'm saying? We got to be so careful when man make a law and we follow that law like it means something. If God have not approved that law that man have made, it does not pass in the eyes of God. God ain't such a God of law. That law don't mean nothing to God. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And if God let this get by and God get this let this gay marriage and this lesbianism a relationship get by and don't say nothing, God got to go all the way back to Sodom and Gomorrah. He had to go all the way back to the beginning of time when he destroyed the whole world. And he got to go to each one of them and tell them he's sorry that he killed them, that he took their lives. And God ain't going to do that because God don't have to repent. God ain't going to do no wrong. Do you hear what I say? It's time to have an inventory. You can't go to heaven in your sin. You cannot go to heaven in your sin. Now let me go to Ezekiel. So I can explain to you what Ezekiel said. Ezekiel the 24th said, the question was about people backsliding. Can a Christian backslide? Can a Christian go back in the world and start sinning and go to heaven? No. N-O. No. N-O. No. There's another word, N-O-O-N-K-N-O-W, not that no, but the no, N-O. Can a Christian backslide and go to heaven? No. No. I want you to hear this. So you will hear it from the Holy Ghost speaking through me. No. For Ezekiel said, if a man live righteous all his days, go to the 18th chapter of Ezekiel, you'll get this there. I don't have time to go through all that because I want to stay in the flow. If a man live righteous all his days, and then he decides at the age of 60 and 70 and 80 and however, that he ain't want to live godly no more. He done been a Bible study. He done been a revival. He done taught Sunday school. He done He done preached the gospel to the whole world, and now he decided in his old age that he want to backslide and go back to the club. He want to go back out in the world and jungle booty and do whatever he want to do. The Bible said that all his righteousness, the Bible said if he died while he out there. Now, this if he died. If he repent and come on back, it's a different story. But the Bible said if he died while he's out there, all his righteousness that he did will be forgotten, and he'll be considered a wicked man. Ain't that something? To live a godly life, to live holy, saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, to preach the ran revival and preach revival and spoke in tongues and did all the godly things and went to seminaries and went to Sunday morning services for years and years. You done live holy. Your name is holy because that's what you are. And now you decide that you don't want to live for God no more. Now you decide you want to backslide and go back out in the world and do the work. Go back to the club. Go back to your smoking and your drinking and your fornicating. You hear what I'm saying? The Bible said if you die while you're doing it, all the righteous that you did will be forgotten. Because they were confused about what was going on. But they saw righteous people going back doing wicked stuff. And it was said that once you say, you always say, God did not say that. That is not in the scriptures. That is something that somebody made up for an excuse so they could continue to live in their sin and do what they want to do. But Jesus said it clearly in Ezekiel. He said, now if a wicked man, listen to this. He said, if a wicked man. See, that's why God letting people live a long life and they're getting saved. And God, and they living a long life. 70 and 80 and 90, ain't saved, and getting saved at 70, getting saved at 80 and 90. God is patient. God is long-suffering. So the Bible said don't take for granted. Don't misunderstand the goodness of God. Don't misunderstand the grace of God. Because God is slow to anger and quick to mercy. God is a patient God. And the Bible said with long-suffering and patient as he drawed us. God awake a long time. Huh? The man didn't live nothing. He ain't lived nothing but 90 years, but yet one day he walked in the church. Ah, ta, bo, bo, shay. Walked in the church and give his life to God, and God's going to save him. Don't matter how many times he ran around, don't matter how many times he committed adultery, it don't matter how many times he committed fornication and drank liquor, it don't even matter who he might even kill. And when the man comes to the altar, had God to forgive him, God's going to forgive him. And the scripture says all that wickedness that man did, all the 90 years that man did wicked, the Bible says God's going to forgive him and put it behind him to remember it no more. And he's going to be considered a righteous man. Isn't that something? And then the writer asked the question, is God wrong? Is God unfair? God said, no, I'm not wrong. You're the one wrong. You're the one wrong. You're going to take a ride and leave the church. After you done been in the church all them years, you're going to go right back to the club. You're going to go back like a dog to his vomit and be like a sow to the mare. You're going to go back out and wallow in that mess that God delivered you from. And then you want God to still accept you. You still want to say you saved and sanctified, Holy Ghost filled and fire baptized on your way to heaven anyhow. No, you're not. If you don't repent, you're on your way to destruction. Well, what was the story so clear given to us by the prodigal son? And I love that story. I ain't got to tell the whole story, but it was so simple. How that the prodigal son, how that he realized, you know, he left home. He represented a church person. He represented a saint. But he came to daddy one day and told his daddy, he said, daddy, listen, I'm kind of tired now of living this life, going to church, going to prayer meeting, going to Bible study. I want you to give me my money. I want you to give me what I'm going to get when you die. Now, you don't supposed to get no money until that person dies. You don't get nobody will while they're living. You have to wait till they die. He got that disrespectful. He want the money he going to get when his daddy dies. When you going to leave me, I want my money now. And no one done no such thing as that. But his daddy gave him his money anyway. And he went out there. He backslid. He back. Now he in the world. He ain't in church. He ain't going to Bible study no more. He ain't going to choir practice no more. He ain't going to Sunday school no more. He don't hang out around the church no more. I would say he went out there and throwed away all his money and ride his living. But while he was out there, see, God knows how to get our attention. God knows how to bring us back. God's trying to bring some of you back right now. You're in a backsliding state. And God sent me by this afternoon to tell you to come back, come back, come back. You know, they used to have a movie out a long time ago, and the woman was, they were trying to get this person that was lost into a phenomena, like in a spiritual world. And the woman would tell him, come to the light, come to the light. Well, God sent me by to tell you to come to the light. You're in darkness. You're lost. You need to come to the light. You need to come from that backslidden state. You need to do like Nicodemus and realize that you're lost. Realize that you need to be born again. Realize that you need Jesus Christ, Lord, and Savior of your life. You can't live a life of sin and go to heaven. You can't live a life of sin and go to heaven. If you live ungodly, you're gonna and die in your sin, you're gonna be lost. You can't die in your sin and go to heaven. Do you hear what I'm saying? You can't die in your sin and go to heaven. Ain't no such thing as somebody praying you out. Somebody, you can have so many points and all that crazy stuff that they're teaching now. Somebody can pray you out arms. You got so many arms and they can pray you out. No, baby, ask the rich man. Don't let nobody trick you. Don't let nobody fool you. Come on, you go to hell. If you listen, if you die and close your eyes and you ain't saved, you is going to hell. You ain't going to no heaven. Ain't nobody going to pray you out of purgatory. Ain't nobody going to pray you out of a loony dune and nowhere else. You're going to be lost. If you die lost, listen, if you die lost, you're going to wake up lost. You hear me? But you ain't going to wake up the second rapture. You're going to wake it up to the second resurrection. You cannot die lost and wake up saved. Don't let nobody trick you. It's what the rich man thought when he died. The scripture said that the angel picked up Lazarus. The angel picked him up because he was a righteous man. But the scripture said that the rich man woke up in hell. But guess what? He want to testify now. He waited too late for testimony. I'm telling some of you, we wait too late to testify. He waited too late to testify. He's too late to testify now. They're talking about tell my brother. Go tell my brother them. Go send somebody to my brother and tell them that Jesus is real. Tell them that salvation is real. Tell them that them sin they commit, they're wrong, and they're going to die, and there is a hell. Go back and tell them there is a hell. But Abraham said to them, listen, even if somebody came from the dead and told them that there's a hell, they still ain't going to believe. He said they got Abraham, and they got all the prophets, and all them, and they ain't listening to them. They ain't going to listen to nobody if they come from the dead. People sit in their way. Isn't that something? People are so set in their way that just a few folks want to go to heaven. Listen, they say they want to go to heaven, but your action ain't that. Saying don't mean that. Saying by itself ain't going to get you that. You got to do more than say you want to go to heaven. You got to make Jesus Lord and Savior of your life. After that, it's in God's hands to take care of the rest. Don't worry about it. I know some people be talking, well, Apostle, I would get saved, but I'm afraid I won't live the life, and I'll be in and out of church, and I'm afraid I'm going to be hypocrite. Listen, baby, when God saved you, he's just not going to give you the name of a Christian and stamp you and say you a Christian and then leave you out there by yourself. Baby, when God saved you, he's going to sanctify you and fill you with the power of the Holy Ghost. When God saved you, first thing God's going to do before he sanctify you and fill the Holy Ghost, he's going to give you a new nature, because you can't get the Holy Ghost without having a new nature. I ain't never seen so many people with the Holy Ghost and got their old nature. Still cussing. Still lying. Still cheating. Still running around at the club. Still running around with somebody else's husband and wife talking about you've been born again, speaking in tongues. Baby, God ain't going to give you no Holy Ghost in your old nature. But he said, dwell not in an unclean temple. Quit trying to play games with God. Quit playing games with God. God is real. God is holy, sovereign. God is almighty. God is omnipotent. God is powerful. God is gracious. Oh, there's so many words I could say about God. And here you playing games with God. I'm just speaking in tongues and just got out of bed with that man's wife. You need to cut your man out. You need to stop your man and making God look bad. You can't make God look bad, but you know the enemy's trying to bring any reproach against God that he can. God is holy. He's still holy. Do you hear what I say? So you need to have an image, told you. I asked you a question again, as I asked you when I first got started. Because I come by to let you know, you got to be born again. So Ezekiel 18 and 24 was explaining to the people, because the people were saying, Can a man go to heaven after he backslides? Have a person been in the church a long time and then they decide that they want to be in the church no more? Can they go to heaven? No. No, baby, you can't. You got to repent. And don't die while you're out there. Because if you die in your sin, you're going to be lost. When you wake up on the day of judgment, you're going to be judged and sent to eternal damnation. You hear what I'm saying? You better get it by your eyes. Huh? The old folks done sung a song. Where you was when they sung that song? The old folks said, why the blood running warm? Why the blood running warm, running warm? In my vein, why the blood running warm, running warm, running warm in my vein? You better get in the hurry. 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 Why the blood running warm in your vein? Why the blood running warm in your vein? Why the blood running warm in your vein? You better get in a hurry. Somebody need to get in a hurry this afternoon. You better get in a hurry. You better get in a hurry. You better get in a hurry. Why the blood running warm in your vein? Oh, that is for the old folks, it seems. You know, we got all this sweet stuff going around now, singing all these sweet songs. And God told me old folks are starving to death because we got all this old ready-made instant song now. And you don't even know what the song said. By the time the song over, you don't even know what the words of the song. How you going to understand a song? You don't even know what the words of the song is. Singing it. The song sounds good, but you don't know what the word is. I had to ask sometimes, what are they saying? What are they saying? That can't bless my soul, and I don't know what the word is. But I know what the word is when the old folks sing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved. We're talking about salvation. This thing. Can I go ahead and sing? And we're talking about, are you saved or are you lost? A wretch like me, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Would laugh, but now I see. Oh, I'm just trying to finish up tonight. Yeah, I'm just trying to finish up tonight. We're talking about salvation. Such grace that my heart to feel, and grace my fear relief. How precious is that grace of you. Love of ever believe. Ever since this grace came into my life in 1979, it's changed me. It's been changing me ever since, from one grace into another. Oh, I could not tell you how far God grace has brought me, how God grace has changed me. It has changed my attitude. It has changed my behavior. It has changed my personality. It has changed my character. It has changed my conversation. It has changed my location. It has changed the people that I hanged around with that want good for me. It has changed the places that I went to that want good for me. I want to know, is your salvation changing you? Because if your salvation ain't changing you, you need to go get another salvation. Because this salvation, it'll change you. It'll pick you up. It'll turn you around. It'll place your feet on solid ground. It'll put running in your feet and a clap in your hand and a smile on your face. You hear what I say? It'll have you running and ain't nobody behind you. It'll have you screaming and hollering and ain't nobody bothering you. Did you hear what I say? This thing is real. It is real. It is real. Please let me finish this the way the Holy Holy Ghost tell them to do it. It is real. The songwriter said, yes, God is real. Oh, yes, God is real. For he is real. He is real in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garment. Hey, he has made me whole. Yes, God is, yes, God is real. Yes, God is, yes, God is real. Oh, he's real. He's real in my soul. For oh, I have touched the hem of his garment. He has made me whole. There are places that I may never go. Oh, there are people that I just don't know. But there is one thing, and this thing is for sure. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Ooh. Oh, yes, God is, yes, God is real. Real in my soul. Yes, God is real, for he has watched and made me whole. His love for me, his love for you too, he loves you too. It's just like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Can I say it one more time? There are places that I may never go. There are people I just don't know. But there is one thing, and the thing is for sure. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Oh, yes, God is, yes, God is real. Real in my feel, in my soul. My God is real, for he has watched and made me whole. His love is love for me. His love is love for me. His love is love for me. It's just like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. I come out to tell you, get it together. Quit playing games with your thing. Make sure you got it real with God. Make sure God is real in you. Make sure that you've been born again. Make sure that you ain't saying you're saved and ain't saved. Say you've been born again, but you ain't been born again. Your nature got to say. Listen, if your nature is not saved, if your nature is not saved, then you're not saved. God didn't just call you to save you by word and deed, but he came to change your nature. Because, see, God knows. And if he don't change your nature, then you're going to go back doing the same thing you're doing. He got to change your inner man, your spiritual man. He got to change your nature. You hear me? He got to change your nature. See, when God saved you, he gave you a new nature. Before you got saved, you had the nature of Adam that sinned in the garden. You had the nature of Adam, which was sin. But when Jesus came into your life, he gave you the nature. When God came into your life, he gave you the nature of Jesus Christ. You don't have the nature of Adam no more. You got the nature of Jesus Christ. There's sin in the nature of Adam, but salvation in the nature of Jesus Christ. And he gives you a new nature. What are you talking about, Apostle? It's just like a hog. Did you know why that hog went back to the mud? Did you know why that hog went back to the mud? Whenever they washed him off and put that suit on him, put some space of Adam on his feet. Put a Rolex watch on his arm, on his leg. Put him on a Bonnie 500. He was clean, you hear me? That hall was clean. You would have thought he would have went to church, went on a cellar apartment somewhere, laid in the bed. But what did the hall do? He took that suit and that watch and them shoes and them Stacy Adams. He went right on back to the mud. Not only did he go back to the mud, he wallowed in the mud. Why did he do that? Are you mad at the hog, Apostle? No, I ain't mad at the hog. Because the hog did what he supposed to. That was his nature. To go back in the book. I'm mad he wanted to have no better sense than put that $500, Barney 500 on him. Let him stay the item and put that wrist watch on his wrist. The hog went back to where he supposed to go because that was his nature to go back. Just like the dog that threw up, that eats and threw it up. That was his nature to do that. It wasn't nothing new. He'd been doing that for thousands of years. Ever since he was a dog. And them animals, that's why the Bible said, be not like the dog. Be not like the sow who will watch. Be not like that sow that I just mentioned that they put the suit on, put the shoes on. The Bible said, give no precious pearl. Give my precious pearl to the swine. That's why the hog went back to where he was. He followed his nature. And if you going back to the club, you following your nature. You ain't saved. Your nature taking you back to the club. Baby, this new nature won't take you to the club. Asha. This new nature ain't going to take you back to the club. This new nature ain't going to let you keep on drinking liquor. This new nature ain't going to let you keep smoking cigarettes. This new nature ain't going to let you continue to do fornication. This new nature ain't going to let you continue to commit adultery. This new nature ain't going to let you keep on lying. This new nature ain't going to let you keep on running around and fooling around. This new nature ain't going to let you love a man and you a man. This new nature ain't going to let you love a woman and you a woman. This new nature ain't going to let you be messed up in your spirit, having unnatural affection and don't know the difference. This new nature ain't going to do that because this is the nature of Christ. This is the nature of God. And when he saves you, he gives you a new nature. So this is what's wrong with the generation we in now. They get saved, but they won't get that new nature. They confess Christ, but they won't wait long enough for him to change them, give them that new nature. They won't even stand still long enough for him to give them. Already they're ready to preach. They're ready to put a robe on. Ready to call themselves an apostle. Ready to call themselves an evangelist. Ready to call themselves an elder. Do you not know an elder is not that the word elder does not mean that you give that to a young person? An elder is a person that's been in the church for a long time. An elder is a person that's been through many dangers, toils, and snares. An elder is a person that's suffered affliction. An elder is a person that got some knots in his belt, got some bruises, got some scars. Here you ain't been in the church for 3 years and talking about you an elder. You ain't no elder. You don't qualify to be an elder. And we qualify people to be something that they're not, and it's tearing up the church. You hear what I'm saying? How you apostle? You ain't been 3 years old. You ain't been saved for 3 years. How you going to tell somebody that you don't know nothing your own self? Paul didn't come no apostle time. He got saved. Paul went and stealed away. Paul went and got under teaching of a great leader. And Paul stayed there for a number of years until he taught Paul something. Paul was already educated in the law, but he wasn't educated in the gospel. He wasn't educated in the spiritual realm. He wasn't educated in Christ Jesus. And this man took Paul under his arm and taught Paul. Now Paul knows the law and grace. Paul was educated in law, but he wasn't educated in grace. But this man took Paul under the wing and taught him. And that's what's wrong with today. Our leaders ain't educated in grace. They don't know nothing. They already know the word, but they don't know how to use the word. And they don't know how to break the word down. They don't know how to use the word to save nobody's soul. The Bible said in order to be a soul winner, you got to be wise. You don't throw no rocks in. You don't throw rocks in the pond and go fishing. That fish ain't gonna bite. Where you throwing them rocks at? You done trouble the waters. Ain't that fish gonna bite your hook? No, he not. And that's what kind of folk we got out the rock throwing folks. Got a nerve to come trying to tell somebody off. Trying to hurt, offend folk by sending them to hell. When we have been given no authority to send nobody to hell. Jesus said, I did not come to send you to hell. He said, I didn't come to condemn. That's what he said. He didn't say, I didn't come to condemn, but to bring the right, bring sinner to repentance. If Jesus came to do that and you're working for Jesus, how you sending somebody to hell? When you're working for Jesus, Jesus didn't send nobody to hell. He said, I wish that none perished. Yeah, you're going to hell if you don't stop doing this. No, that ain't what you're supposed to be preaching. You're supposed to be preaching salvation. Once they get salvation, once they get Jesus, they'll know not to do them things no more because their nature will be saved, and Jesus will help them not to do those things. You don't preach on any one particular thing because more than one particular thing is sin. The Bible says if he that broke one law, break all the laws. But it's some that are sinned are worse than others. But I say unto you, have an inventory of yourself. Are you saved? I'm talking to somebody that says, I don't care if I ain't talking about one person. I'm going to say, are you saved? Have you been born again? Go back home. I know you're on the choir. Huh? If you want to humble yourself, you don't want to allow the congregation to know. You don't want your pastor to know. You don't want other people to know that you've been in the church all these years and you've not been saved. That's okay. Go into your prayer closet. Talk to God. Tell God to forgive you, and then you get saved, and you keep on doing what you're doing. They didn't know no better. They didn't know you won't saved nowhere, so there ain't no great law. Go in your closet and humble yourself in God. It ain't about you getting saved for them. It's not about you getting saved in their presence. It's not about you getting saved to satisfy them. This is about God. This is about God. This is personal. This is between you and God. That you go in your prayer closet. Get on your knees. Find you a place to pray. Find you a place where you can talk to God. And you can say, Lord, I've been in the church all these years. God, I've been on the mother board. I've been on the deacon board. I've been an apostle. I've been a prophet. I've been prophesied. I heard this lady was telling me years ago when I first started out how she was prophesied. They won't live in nothing. Prophesied. They're falling all out. They didn't know a thing about it. They didn't know a thing about that. Oh, they thought she was saved. And she said she have a bitter salvation. You see what I'm saying? Fooling the people. But she got saved later on. But when she wasn't saved, they didn't know it. People don't know nothing. People not know discernment. They're so caught up in themselves that they're not watching. The Bible said, watch as well as pray. You hear what I'm saying? The mothers of old, because the mothers of old school, they cared about your soul. They cared about souls. When they had church back then, they had church. They didn't run in and have service and run and go home. They tabled at the altar. They made you stay right there. You be talking about you saved, speaking in tongues? That mother said, oh, baby. No, honey, come on back here. You speaking in tongues? She said, oh, no, they ain't that. Come on. Come on. You want my food, them mother. You're going to make sure you had the Holy Ghost. When you left around that altar, you're going to know you had the Holy Ghost because them mother's going to make sure you had it. They didn't fall for that fakiness that folks got getting on now. Some blah, 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 and then go out there and do what you want to do. Blah, blah, blah should have helped you live holy. If your blah, blah, blah ain't helping you live holy, you need to go back and get some more blah, blah, blah because then you ain't get the right thing. This thing is real. The songwriter said God is real. So I encourage you to say, are you saved? Or are you just playing church? You can't be going to Baltimore and Washington at the same time. No, you cannot go to heaven if you've been a Christian, if you've been in the church all your life, and you done backslid and told me, once say you always say, so that is not true. I didn't explain that to you. Yeah, that's not true. If you done backslid, you need to repent. God is married to the backslider. He said all you had to do is repent. You ain't got to go through all that crazy stuff about this and that, and Mary Magdalene, and she was the mother of Jesus and all that. You don't have to do that if you've been saved. All you say, take me back, Lord. The prodigal son went back. He didn't say he's going to preach no sermon. He said he's going to go back and say, Daddy, I was wrong. Just take me back. Put me in the barn. I don't even want to go in the house. I was wrong for acting like I did. And what did the prodigal son, Daddy, say? He said, my son was lost but now he found. He was blind, but now he says, yes, you're lost, but God will forgive you. He's waiting with open arms. He's waiting for you to repent. He waiting for you to turn from your backsliding way. Huh? He see you sitting in church there, ain't saved, and that displeases him. But he's going to be so excited when you make up your mind that you ain't going to play church no more. You're going to be real. You can confess that you're lost and get saved so God can sanctify you and fill you with his presence. And use you to help somebody up just like me. See, God couldn't use me in 1978. Because in 1978, I was lost. In 1978, I had club in me. In 1978, I had the nature of Adam in me. In 1970, I hadn't been born again. In 1970, I ain't have no Jesus. So God couldn't use me. You hear me? God couldn't use me. In 1978. I was 20 years old. God couldn't use me because I hadn't been born again. I didn't have the nature of Christ. I lived ungodly. I went to the club. I smoked my dope. I ran my women. I did my thing. But in 1979, God saved me. And he saved me on November the 7th, 1979, in a prison cell. Do you hear me? I went in the bathroom in the prison. And I got out of my bed because God convicted me. And I got up, Shata. I got up out of my bed because God convicted me about 6 o'clock that morning. I got up out of my bed. I said, enough is enough. I saw the life I live it. I saw a pattern going on. I said, enough is enough. I said, I'm doing the same thing my uncles did, and they done told me that I'm going to be just like my uncle. I'm spending the rest of my life in prison. I said, the devil is a liar. I'm going to break this pattern right now. And salvation was all over me. Mama brought me up in church, so I know a little bit about church, and I didn't know how to pray. I wasn't about, I didn't even know how to pray. I said, God, I don't even know how to pray. Some of you may not even know how to pray. You ain't got to sound no trumpet. You ain't got to have no marathon. You ain't got to no pray no long prayer. All you got to do is tell God to have mercy on you. I said, God, I don't even know how to pray. But have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on me. Forgive me for my sin. I broke up that pack of Newport cigarettes, and I said, because I felt like that. A Christian ain't got no business smoking. I felt like a Christian had no business dipping snuff and chewing the Bible. And doing that Copenhagen, a little pinch on the cheek, because we are supposed to be sanctified. See, it causes people to look at you in a negative way. Whether it be right or wrong, it makes people look on you in a negative way. And the Bible said, if you offend your brother, leave it alone. You don't want people to look on you and discredit you and discredit God because you've done something worldly in the flesh, because you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh with alcohol and cigarettes and tobacco and drugs and stuff like that, because you're a vessel. You're a vessel of honor. The Bible says every house is a vessel of honor and vessel of dishonor. But if a man will sanctify himself from these things, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctify and fit for the master use. God wants you to be set apart. God wants you to be a vessel of honor, sanctified and fit for his use. He can use you any day, any place, any time. Isn't that right? So come on and have an inventory of yourself. When this service is over with tonight, go on into your prayer closet. Go on out in the yard to your car. You don't want nobody to know that you don't been faking all this time, or you pretending to be saved. Then go out in the garden or go in the backyard. Go somewhere and get it right with God. Time is winding up. It gets late in the evening and the sun is going down. The rapture could take place any time. And this is a good time for everybody listening out of my voice. I don't care if you are ready. Get more ready. Get rapture ready. Get rapture ready. Come, when you stand before God, do you know we're going to marry Jesus one day? We the church. And one day we're going to marry Jesus. But we're going to marry Jesus with stains in our dress, peanut butter and jelly and mustard. No bride get married with stains in her dress. No bride come out that back room with mustard in her dress and peanut butter in her dress. That dress is white and pure and clean. We got to be white and pure and clean when we stand before Jesus to marry him. The Bible said he's coming back for a church without any spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. Them such things. That's what you're messing up with, them such things. Somebody said, well, I ain't got no spot to blame. Yeah, but you got them such things. Get rid of them such things, because them are the things that's going to get you in trouble. Oh, we bless the Lord. Precious Father, we thank you. We praise you. We lift you up for this. I'm so excited, this message, Lord. It makes me more aware of myself. That are you saved or just planter? God, help us to be real, God. Help us have an inventory of ourselves. Help us to check out and see where we stand with you, God. We want to hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You will faith over a few things. I make you ruler over many. We don't want to hear you say, depart from me. I know you're not. Your word was in iniquity. You went to church, went to Sunday school, went to Bible study. You held no position in the church as a deacon, a ruling elder, a mother. Sit on that deacon board all them years long. Sit on that mother board all them years long and know you were long. Pastor after pastor, preacher after preacher, minister after minister, came through, evangelist after evangelist, revival after revival, came through talking to you and your heart and your heart like you didn't even hear the word. But the Bible says, in the day you hear my voice. I came to you so many times with my voice trying to get you right. And I told you, in the day you hear my voice, harden your heart anyway. God, I ask you to break all hard-heartedness, Lord. Break all stubbornness, all rebelliousness, God. Bring the spirit of humbleness, humility. And you said, humble thyself on the mighty hand of God, and you will exalt us in due season. Humble somebody, God. Humble them, O Lord, that they might repent. And it might be God is sorry for not living the life that you called him to do, but for setting their position and they won't qualify for the position. God, I ask you again for you allowing you to use her, because she didn't have to open up the door. She could have gave it to somebody else. And I ask you to bless her, God. I ask you to open the windows of heaven out and glorify yourself in her, in her children, in her grandchildren, in her daughter, in her son. I ask you to work miracle, let unexpected doors open in every ass, and thy name shall forever be praised for all this, God. Bless they going out, they coming in, uprising the down city. In Jesus' name, amen.